Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. The word Moses could not say. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and you in some Bibles will find a dash there, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. This verse has a missing word. I think nowhere else in the 66 books of the Bible in which there is a word missing, a dash drawn to show that some unknown word or words ought to be where this blank spot is. The man, look at the man who is saying these words. This is Moses. Moses is not a trifling figure. Moses talked to Pharaoh and didn't lack words. Moses has talked to God and didn't lack words. But here in this occasion, Moses comes up, if now, yet now, if thou wilt not forgive their sins. And then he pauses and words are missing. Words that should be said are not said. And then he goes on to say, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. It is one of those things that happens when a man is upon something that he does not feel comfortable. He is out of his depths and he knows it. This one, this lawgiver, Moses, this great statesman, Moses, this ambassador of God, Moses, lacking words? Well, you understand that a word left out of a sentence in which Moses addresses God on Israel's behalf. He is talking as a mediator. He is talking as a representative of both sides. He is talking to God about his people. He's talking to God about his chosen people. He's talking to God. And then you get the sense of why each word would have to be weighed and why he would be slow to speak, swift to hear. This word is left out of the sentence in which Moses addresses God on the behalf of Israel. Well, the background. Let's go back now and fill in the back part. This mighty coming together, this mammoth event is happening because of a vast and weighty considerations. There is, if you do go back, you'll find that Israel is caught right in the act by God himself of worshiping an idol. Moses is up on the mountain with God, conversing with God. God has, by his own finger, written out two tablets which have on them commandments. God wrote those with his own hand. Moses has them. Cradled however it was, he has them. They're in Moses' possession. He has talked to God and God has consented to give them laws which would allow them to abide with him and for him to be their God and for them to be his people. Moses is tarrying and Israel gets antsy. They want something. They need something. They need somebody. And Moses has gone up onto a mountain with God and they can't see him. And all they have is dark clouds and fire on the mountaintop and lightning and thundering. And the threat, if you touch this mountain, you'll die. So this sense that man has, that he needs something he can see and touch, this touch influence, this wanting something they can always have near enough and will not have to wait long in order to go and touch it, feel it. The reason they put these limitations about idol worshipers is because God was afraid that Israel would be influenced by their neighbors, influenced by the people that he had to lead them through from Egypt back to Canaan. He didn't want them picking up their idolatry. So Moses, the lawgiver, is called up to God. He's called up to be a liberator. He is called up to take these people who have come out of bondage into a land of Canaan and make a nation out of them. But the whole of the people, the solitude of it is too quiet. Too quiet without something. I just can't take quietness. Got to have something. So in their waiting upon Moses to come back, they come to Aaron, the priest, and they ask Aaron, give us a God. Aaron caves in, and he tells them to break the gold earrings off of your ears and off of your children's ears and bring the gold to me, and they will do just that. They're yearning for God, but they cannot see Jehovah. They're yearning for fellowship, but he is on the mountain with Moses, and they are in the valley. The yearning for such gods. When man makes his mind up for a God, he wants a God he can see, a God he can touch, a God that stirs up emotion, a God that gives them something. And it's in this cry, the yearning for a God visible to the eye, touchable, that it is in this time that God catches Moses. For the Bible tells us God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Aaron caves in. He bows to the people's clamor. He becomes part of a long possession of men and women. Men and women who have tried to be leaders, not by challenging, not by luring the people to something higher, but becoming a reflection, a willing instrument, a reproduction of what is the lowest and the basest in those who leaders they call themselves. You ought not to want anyone in any role of leadership who has nothing better or more uplifting to say than to congratulate you. People are not saved by being flattered. People are not saved by being congratulated. People are saved by being faced. They're saved by being loved. They're saved sometimes by being opposed. But Aaron caves in. He gives them a God. Moses, God tells him there's something wrong in that valley. Get you down, for Israel has corrupted itself. Get down, you led these people out of Egypt, now go tend to them. He said that my anger may wax hot. God's about ready to eliminate all of them. So Moses moves speedily down the mountain and picks up Joshua. And as they approached the camp, Joshua said, it sounds like the voice of war. Moses said, no, it's not the voice of war. It's not the voice of mastery of one people over another. It's not the voice of lamenting that somebody has been defeated. It sounds like singing to me, Joshua. And they get closer. Moses hears the shouts and the cries. He's running all that through his head, trying to figure out just what this noise means, what this message of this noise is. Moses knew it wasn't an army. He knew it wasn't wailing of people who had been defeated. Finally, he said, it's singing. They're singing songs to something. They're worshiping something. They are worshiping something. And Moses' anger begins to be turned up. And as he gets to the place, he sees it stretched before him. Shameful. Shameful scene. People who had forgotten God already, had forgotten the God of their fathers, had forgotten though the God that had delivered them, had surrendered already their purity, had surrendered already their liberty, had surrendered already everything that they were released from, they're now back into. You see, they're stood in the midst of their dancing, singing, reveling, a golden calf, a calf of gold. Israel had lapsed into idolatry. Moses is there in that sense. We understand that calf glistening in the desert sun. We understand the emotions of the crowd. It was excited. All of a sudden, they are dancing. They were touching. They were rubbing on that calf. They had a God they could feel. They had a God that put sensation in them. They had God that stirred emotion up in them. They had a God that stirred everything they had been missing. Now, it was somewhat, again, like Egypt. But they had dishonored God who had brought them out of slavery. They had dishonored God who fed them when they were hungry. They had dishonored God who had made them free men. They had dishonored God. Look at them. God's people are disgracing God. God's people are in front of a golden idol. God's people, look at them. God's own people whirling in sensuous circles. Look at them. They are filled with emotion. They are shrill and frantic in their shouts. They are worshiping an idol. A thousand shames is not enough. This is depravity. But I wonder about us. I wonder if we are not just a whole lot more comfortable with emotions than we are with God. I wonder sometimes if the emotions isn't stirred, if we even care if God's here or not. Have we become something that we shouldn't be? Some earthly pleasure? We love it more than we love the Lord Himself. Some sensual thing? Is it more meaning more to us than His person? Do we serve Him for the cakes and the barley loaves and the fish? Or do we serve Him because of who He is and what He's done for us? Am I here tonight to worship to get an emotion out of it? Or am I here tonight to worship with a thankful heart? Saying, oh God, if it was not for you, I would yet be in the pit. I would yet be in my sins. You see, it says, when I sometimes have to hang my head, when I think something else or someone else more precious to me than my Lord, who has lifted me up when I was sinking deep in sin. Who snatched me as a brand out of the fire. Who plucked my feet out of the net and out of the miry clay and has established my goings. I am what I am because He has favored me. I stand tonight a saved man because He paid my fare. I stand tonight a sanctified man because He cared enough to wash me. I stand tonight with the Spirit of God in my heart because He cleaned it so God could dwell in it. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Yes. Oh, I ask us tonight, well, let me hurry because cake and ice cream is waiting, and Timothy said he'd like to get to the cake and ice cream. So, Tim, I'm on my way to the cake and ice cream. Just hold on. We'll be there. Moses is in the breach. His anger is so great that he breaks the tablets written by God. Can you imagine a man holding what God has written with his own finger and then in anger throwing it down? Walking into the midst of that crowd. His anger flashing. Drawing a line in the sand and said, all that's on God's side, come over here. And then giving them the order to execute everyone that would not come. Moses was angry. Moses had tried to his limits. Moses, the man. Moses, the mediator. Moses, the one who counts the cost after the moment of anger, talks to God. And Moses says, I am willing to die for those that I love. It is in this moment, he's a true leader, a true lover of his people. He wrestles with God. He wrestles with God's righteousness and holy anger. He is trying to cool God off. He is trying to get God to back down. The man's fiery earnestness makes him willing to be lost forever if Israel can be saved. Lord, if thou wilt not forget their sin, blot me out of the book which thou hast written. If those whom I love cannot be saved, then let me be lost. What sublime heights of loyalty and devotion fall now upon Moses. He is clothed in another cloak. He's not an offended leader. All of a sudden, he is a man who is an intercessor. He's no longer burning with anger. He is now burning with a passion that he cannot see that which he has led out of Egypt to be destroyed by God. He tells them, they'll hear about this in Egypt. They'll blame you. They'll say that you led him out here to do mischief to him. He talks to God. Even Martin Luther King, civil rights leader, who said these famous words, if there is nothing for which a man is ready to die, then his life is not worth living. Gallant. If there is nothing for which a man is ready to die, then his life is not worth living. Moses came to that blunt point, and instead of falling away from Israel, he fell in with Israel. He lays down his ambassadorship and he comes right into the midst of Israel and he draws Israel around him and says, God, if you're going to destroy them, you hit them, you hit me. If you take them away, take me with them also. You cannot separate me from them. I am part of them. They are my people. Oh, I would to God I had some members who cared for something else more than they did self. I would to God that I could get somebody to pray again until revival was born in a breast that said, I can't stand the thought of them being lost. When did we quit praying that way? Somewhere we quit praying that way. Somewhere we lost that feeling for one another. Somewhere burden sharing has become obsolete. Somewhere burden sharing has become outdated. Somewhere burden bearing people are no longer appreciated. Somewhere the Apostle Paul said, O Israel, I have travailed in pain for you. I've travailed like a woman in expectancy for you. I'm travailing that you can be birthed. You see, the heights of loyalty and devotion is seen right here in this man. Lord, give us such love as this. Now, the heart and the essence of what I am talking to you about is just this fact right here. Moses is dealing with a profound question. He is right here in the trench and is engaged in mind and heart with humanity. He is identifying himself. Did not Daniel do the same? Did not Daniel say, God, we have sinned, when it was Israel that sinned? You cannot be effective praying for somebody until you put the we. It's not just them, it's us. It's in these moments when we are really lacking. Sin and guilt and forgiveness must be dealt with. Sin needs forgiveness, does it not? Guilt needs peace, does it not? And you can't have it until God has gave the nod. God has been offended by Israel. Who will right the wrong? God has been shamed by Israel. Who will right the wrong? God is on the mountain ready to destroy Israel. Who will fall into the breach? Who will make the way and close the gap? Who will stand in the gap and make up the hedge? You see, it's a question that us busy people don't have really time to answer. For it's all about us and our schedule. We pray when we have time. You're not helping me, are you? We pray when we have time. If it don't interfere with our job, we'll pray. If it don't interfere with our shopping, we'll pray. If it don't interfere with our activities, we'll pray. But there was a time when we put prayer first. We sung that old song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Now, let us have a little talk with Jesus. We are here, the creature and the creator in conflict. Moses is dealing with a broken fellowship between a maker and what he has made. He has the same internal instincts that God had in the cool of the evening when he come down from wherever it was that God was looking down upon Eden and said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Same searching question. I made you. Where are you at? I love you. Where are you at? Adam, where art thou? Same searching spirit is among us tonight, calling for our attention. The tenant is hiding from the landlord. The creature is hiding from his creator. The trouble is offended majesty. The treason is a disloyal subject. No, Moses is dealing with a loving parent and a disobedient child. He is dealing with a circumstance which makes us all cry out, I hate the sin that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Moses is dealing with the final problem of our existence, God's eternal love. How can justice and mercy shake hands with each other? How can unrighteousness and goodness find a place to stand together in God's heart in our forgiven lives? Moses knew there had to be a way. God must be able to forgive sin. There must be some antidote for the poison, some serum for the disease. There must be some way to rid the stain. But what will cleanse it away? There must be a way back to Eden. There must be some way on ahead for us to come to heaven. God and God's child to be reconciled. One more time. Moses says, if thou wilt forgive them. But now we see the blank. If thou wilt forgive them. Then the dash. But I think I know, I thank God that we know. I know what can fill the blank which Moses left. We can speak a word poor Moses could not speak. I know one who broke the evil spell, and while we were yet sinners, died for us. The missing word, it is Jesus. If Moses had only had that word for Christ's sake, if he could only have the word Jesus saves, if he had only known about Calvary, if he could have only sensed those words. You see, it's Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. The word that Moses could not come up with is Jesus. For Moses lived too early. He lived prior to Calvary. He sensed there must be some way. I know what Moses could not call. I know a name that can change the leper's spots. I know a name that can cleanse a sinner's record. I know a name that has a blood that can cleanse from all sin. I know a name that can bring an offended God down to the offender. I know a name that can move heaven and bring heaven down in a forgiving spirit. I know a name. The blank is Jesus. A name that can set your cold heart on fire. I used to hear my mother, I used to hear my grandmother call his name Jesus. Oh, I wish you'd help me. The angels told us to call his name Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. I like to call his name. Sometimes when the world is tossing me, sometimes when my world seems like it's upside down, sometimes when my ship feels like it's been hit broadside by a wave that's going to sink me, I call that name, Jesus, and he steadies me. Yes. Jesus, my God, I know his name. Yes. His name is in all my trust. He will not put my soul to shame. He will not let me lose my hope. And yet now, if thou will forgive their sins and the dash, and if not, and the "and if not" has been removed, he will forgive sin. Look at all these, living witnesses. How many has had your sin forgiven? Look at that. Hold your hands up. Don't put them down so quick. Hold them up in recognition. I am a forgiven sinner. My sins have been remitted. Now, what was the name that brought you to that great grace?
Jesus.
Tell me his name again.
Jesus,
my Savior.
Oh, yes.
Jesus, my friend.
Oh, yes.
Jesus, lover of my soul.
Yes.
Jesus, my way maker. Jesus, my mind regulator. Jesus, my heart keeper. Jesus, my song giver. Jesus is my Lord and my life. Oh, hallelujah. Moses, you didn't know what to say, but I can say it. If thou wilt not forgive their sins, I plead the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God said, there's only one name given under men, given under heaven, whereby men must repent and be saved. What's the name?
Jesus.
Oh, why don't we call his name? Why don't we pray in his name? Why don't we get down in the trench with his name? Why don't we fight for our children with his name? Why don't we call the devil's bluff with his name? Why don't we take that name and build a wall? Why don't we take that name and build a fortress? Why don't we take that name and defeat the very devil of hell? For at the name of Jesus, he must bow. Oh, he has not left me without a name. And if thou wilt not forgive sins and a dash, I come tonight to tell you, I know a word that Moses didn't. Fill the blank with Jesus. Put it at the end and it works. There's no other name. I said there's no other name. Oh, hallelujah. I said there's no other name When he comes stumbling in here, wanting some place to pray, he come looking for an altar and found a man named Jesus. He got up a new creature. Old things are passing away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Where there was no peace, and now there's peace. Where there was no joy, now there's joy. Where there was no song, now there's a song. Where there was no leap in our step, now there is one. Oh, thank God for the name that changes everything. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Stand with me. That's what you call a radio sermon. Don't get used to them. I don't have no sponsors, so I don't have no obligation to shut up. But I want you to come. Some of you need to take that name again. And instead of wondering if it'll work, come boldly to the throne of grace with it. Amen. I said amen. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus did not give the disciples gold and silver. He gave them a name. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee in the name of Jesus. That's it. He will not fill you with silver and gold, but he does give you empowerment through that name. That name is a blank check. You fill the amount and God will stand good for it. Now you say, now, Brother Benny, what about that? I want to tell you again. If you ask in the name of Jesus and doubt not in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you say. That's a blank check, my friend. Can the lame walk? Yes. Can the blind see? Yes. Can the dead get up? Yes. We have a name. It's not if God will, God will. I ask you to bring that name in your problems. I ask you to bring that name in your sickness. I ask you to bring that name in whatever need you have and watch God supply all of your needs by his riches in glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. Come. You'll never know that he's a healer till you come in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody ought to be already making your way up here. The Holy Ghost has already proved he's in the house. What else do we need? What else do we need? An open invitation to come. Fill in the blank. If you will not. Jesus. And Jesus will get you through to the throne of grace. Come, come tonight. Come and pray. Come, come, come. Don't sit at your seat. Come, come, come. Come now. Come and seek God. Come and pray.